The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
We're discussing the biggest winners and losers of Super Wild Card Weekend. Though, interestingly, Ken Rosenthal did report that the Astros have a couple of prospective general manager options that they're sniffing around about. And I think it was Michael Schwab of Twitter. I was like, where does he work? Oh, yeah, he's just the guy that tweets about everything Houston Astros related. He's essentially like the master aggregator for all Houston Astros things. But when it comes down to what the Astros are doing, there are a couple of guys that they're looking at. I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know a damn thing about what any of them do. It's funny, like general managers, it's really a crapshoot. You can't tell at all whether or not the guy's going to be good.
I saw that they're interviewing or interested in a guy who was the general manager for the Marlins.
I'd
avoid that.
No.
I just want to avoid that.
Michael Hill, the former Marlins president of baseball ops.
No thanks.
Dana Brown, Braves VP of scouting. That could be a guy, could be a girl. I don't even know.
Oh, also.
Progressive.
The Braves, they can scout their butts off, so.
This is just
knee-jerk, like, casual baseball fan reaction to hearing these names. Marlins, I'm out. Braves,
Bobby Evans, former Giants general manager.
Former Giants?
Yes, San Francisco
Giants. Fired?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't care either. Look, it would be nice to have one person that's corralling the whole thing together to keep Jim Crane away from his worst instincts and to maybe talk down Jeff Bagwell every now and then. That's it. That's all you're looking for. And I do think that whatever's going on right now, like fighting over $3 million in total with Kyle Tucker and Christian Javier, when you know that those two guys are good with the potential to be great players, it's ridiculous.
Also, it's just those three guys that got named, right?
Yes. Okay.
They're not talking to Roy Oswalt or
I don't know.
Morgan Insberg.
Brad Ausmus.
Lance Berkman.
Yeah.
I think Brad Ausmus, doesn't he? He works in baseball.
I think
he's
so,
he's a front office guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, if you watched yesterday's middle game on Super Wild Card Weekend, the New York Giants, the Minnesota Vikings, you saw what everyone was expecting. And I'll admit that I had some hesitance to pick the Giants to win because it felt so obvious with everyone picking the Giants to beat the Vikings. Oh, the Vikings will at least show up for this game. And of course they didn't. How did the game end? It was as on brand as possible. Not necessarily for the Vikings, who have found ways to blow games in truly tragic fashion over their history. No. It was about being on brand for one Kirk Cousins.
The 48-yard line here is a 4th and 8 for the Vikings, down by 7 at their own 48. In the gun, Cousins, he gets the snap. The left tackle block. They rush for a pass. Caught Hawkinson with the leap at the 50. And he'll be shy of the first down. He picks up 3. And on downs, the ball is going to go over to the New York Giants with 1:44 to go. And the Vikings cannot stop it. The Vikings are out of timeouts. What a defensive play by New York.
Harlan took a while to realize what was going on there. At least it sounds like that. But I'll never question Kevin Harlan, because Harlan always brings the energy no matter what's happening there. And he might have been a little stunned that, wait, was that actually 4th down? The play before, Kirk Cousins actually did seemingly hit his guy for the first down. But on this play, could you possibly be more Kirk Cousins? It's 4th and 8. You got to get a first down or the game is done. You got no timeouts left. And he throws a check down to a guy who's got a defender right by him. Well, you're not throwing to some, you know, The Rock, who's being covered by Kevin Hart. You're throwing to a tight end who's being covered by a rather large defensive back and who isn't that fast to begin with. Sean, it looks like you're about to say something. You could not have given a more perfect ending to a Kirk Cousins playoff loss than him throwing a pass well short of the first down on fourth down?
Yeah, that is the biggest like stereotype from like back when you played at Washington with the Redskins. Like that is the biggest Kirk Cousins stereotype. It was like, yeah, on third down, he'll throw short of the sticks. Like, can't win with them.
It's impossible that he did that in that spot too. Especially, Sean, when you go back to a game earlier this year. Remember Vikings-Bills? What an awesome game that was. Remember it's 4th and 18, and the Vikings need to get the first down to keep the game alive. And Kirk Cousins just throws the ball as high as he possibly can for, I don't know, the best receiver in the NFL, Justin Jefferson. They get the ball. They move on. That's a regular season game. Kirk Cousins was asked, hey, why didn't you try to do the same thing with Justin Jefferson in this game? And to make things even better, Kirk Cousins gave this answer.
Yeah, just a shell read there, saw single high, tried to work Justin, didn't feel good about putting it up to Justin, and then when I went to progress, I just felt like I was about to get sacked, and I felt like I got to put the ball in play.
Okay, well, here's all the word salad afterwards. Pause. Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear what Kirk Checkdown Cousins just said? In the regular season, 4th and 18, you know what? Bleep it. I'm going to throw it up to Justin Jefferson. Playoff game? Season on the line? You might have the best wide receiver in the NFL. Once again, Kirk Cousins on throwing the ball to the good wide receiver.
Like I was about to get sacked, and I felt like I got to put the ball in play. And if I take no, I can't go down with a sack. So I just thought I'd kick it out to TJ. And I had thrown short of the sticks on a few occasions in the game, even going back a few weeks. And just felt like, you know, just throwing it short of the sticks isn't the end of the world. It's just
there.
It was obviously tight coverage, so didn't have the chance to pull away. But I just felt like I was going to go down and take a sack if I didn't put it out.
Short of the sticks isn't the end of the world. It's literally the end of the world, Kirk. What the bleep are you doing? And I feel bad for Kirk. I think he gets a lot of crap that's sometimes undue because at the very least, he's a decent quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. And I think we all know it. We know Kirk Cousins is exactly Kirk Cousins. But he lost the game in a way that Kirk Cousins has found a way to turn into an art. It always is like a conservative check down there. And like, good God, dude, he said in that answer, yeah, I didn't feel like good about throwing it to Justin Jefferson. And it isn't the end of the world when you throw it to one of the sticks. What are you doing? What are you doing? So this might be an appropriate time. How many guys are aware of who the play-by-play broadcaster is for the Minnesota Vikings? Paul Allen. He is the epitome of Homer. He also has just amazing eyebrows. Someone who's got big eyebrows. This guy's eyebrows put mine to shame. So Paul Allen is one of the more Homer radio broadcasters you'll hear. But I actually think he's legitimately talented. There's an art to being in Homer, okay? You can be... I wasn't a big Bill Worrell fan, and I know a lot of people love Bill Worrell because he was calling the Rockets games back in the day. But I always felt like when the Rockets broadcast turned into complaining about the referees, I thought that it wasn't entertaining because it was always like kind of passive-aggressive whining about it. Paul Allen, meanwhile, is the kind of person who is just going to let you know how angry he is as the game goes on. He is your angry uncle that comes over to your house once a week to watch a football game with you that maybe has a couple of beverages and probably is going to say something maybe not so politically correct about the game and about not the game along the way. Paul Allen, here he is, getting angry at former Philadelphia Eagle first-round pick Jalen Reagor, which has been an all-year bit for him.
Jalen Reagor muffed it where he should have called fair catch and the Vikings held on to it. That's so freaking unacceptable. That's unbelievable he just did that. Let's pause. 4:12 to go in the third quarter. 24-21 Giants. Vikings ball on the KFAN Minnesota Vikings radio network. Not driven by Jalen Reagor, driven by Polaris.
Good God. And then they recovered the ball. It's not even like the Vikings lost it there. Just a straight drive by a Jalen Reagor. I love Paul Allen. I think he's great. Always with little shots. Remember when Brett Favre threw that game-ending interception in the Saints-Vikings NFC Championship game back in the day? And he just throws out of nowhere, this isn't Detroit! You can't throw an interception here! You can't do that! Fantastic. I really want to know what he sounded like when Kirk Cousins threw the ball short of the first down. And I would especially love to see what his reaction would have been to hearing Kirk Cousins say, yeah, you know, I just didn't feel comfortable throwing it up to Justin Jefferson there. Also, you know, it's not always the end of the world when you throw it short of the sticks. It's just not always the end of the world. Hey, the world didn't end. The game ended, but the world didn't end. It's just football, guys.
Yeah, live to fight another play.
Just, you know, the next play, we got him. We got him.
Fifth down, fifth and five.
We just got to stop the kneel down. That's it. Use some Schiano tactics. Remember when Greg Schiano and I think it was it Rutgers or where he was with the Bucks?
It was with the Bucks.
Okay, yeah.
It was with Tampa.
Honestly, I didn't have a problem with
that
is trying to blow the kneel down.
That is the most Paul Gallant thing.
What? Why? The game's not over. Sean, I don't accept that take from you. If somebody kneels down at the end of the game, what, I'm not allowed to blow up the center and try to stop the kneel down?
I'm just saying it's the most Paul Gallant thing ever to be like, ooh.
Yeah, because I care about winning.
Yeah. It's the most hard-o take ever.
It's not a hard-o take.
Even other NFL players are like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Well, you know, but that's the thing. The players who are in that spot, that's how they're operating. Like, they might not be at 100% attention. You got to complete the kneel down. You got to complete it. Center exchange got to be good. Okay. Bum rush the center. Take him out. What? Sorry. I care about winning. Greg Schiano got a bad rap for that one.
The problem is that, like, Greg Schiano, like, he might have cared about winning, but he did very little actual winning in the NFL. And so it gets lumped in with, like, look at that clown, Greg Schiano.
Great coach.
MRSA outbreak, and everyone on this team got staph infections.
Hey, he won at Rutgers. He deserves some credit as a coach.
Yeah, with Ray Rice.
I mean, Rutgers was, what, the worst program in college football history for the longest time? He won there. Come on.
All right. You know what? Pass it along to Cal McNair. Maybe we'll interview him for the...
I agree. Greg Schiano is the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Who's about it? 713-780-3776 to call it. To text it as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Do you subscribe to the idea that the better team doesn't always win? An all-time quote from one of the losers of this weekend's Super Wild Card weekend as we take a look at the latest game. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Mike Kafka, offensive coordinator of the New York Giants, his stock certainly rising with what you saw out of the Giants yesterday in that victory over the Minnesota Vikings. That was the best game of Daniel Jones' career. He looked like 2015 Cam Newton at certain points in it. Saquon Barkley had a good game. And remember, we're talking about a Giants team that does not have a lot to work with at wide receiver. So Kafka's done a lot. Brian Daboll today, head coach of the New York Giants, was asked if Mike Kafka is going to do any head coach interviews this week. The NFL does allow it. Starting tomorrow, you are allowed to interview assistant coaches across the league. Daboll says Kafka won't. Now, I don't know if that means Daboll is stepping in the way and saying, hey, you can't do it. I also don't know if that's just Mike Kafka saying, I'm not going to do any interviews this week. I want to focus on the Giants' game plan for their upcoming game against the Philadelphia Eagles. That ought to be interesting, given that these teams play each other a lot. But he's not going to interview this week, and the Texans had, of course, reached out to interview him. So that might limit their options. That could end up being a problem when it comes to who the next head coach of the Houston Texans is. The fact that some of these guys are coaching for teams that are still playing. DeMeco Ryans with the San Francisco 49ers, their defensive coordinator. That's somebody the Texans want to interview. And per Nick Caserio on the flagship, maybe there is actual interest from DeMeco Ryans in that job. It had been reported otherwise. Anyway, let's go to Sunday Night Football as we continue to discuss the biggest winners and losers of Super Wild Card Weekend. The Baltimore Ravens looked like they were about to, at the very least, kick a go-ahead field goal late, if not score a game-winning touchdown in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, this happened.
Put them right around Huntley. He reaches. Oh, that ball's out. That's live. back the other way, Sam Hubbard! The Cincinnati kid! Hubbard's got a convoy! Chased by Andrews! At the 30, the 20, he will score!
Great call by Tirico there. Look, if you're reaching the ball out before breaking the plane of the goal line in the hopes of scoring, it better be fourth down or a do or die situation. And I'm glad, Hardo Paul here, that the Ravens ended up getting bitten by this. Because J.K. Dobbins did it a little bit earlier on a third down, extending his arm towards the goal line, gets a great touchdown. It was a ballsy play. Dobbins showed incredible grip strength on that play. Huntley thought he was in the end zone. He wasn't even within, I think, 2 feet of the end zone when he extended the ball out. Hubbard pops it out. The Ohio State guy, the Cincinnati guy, returns it for a touchdown. And that was it. So when we talk about winners and losers, just all time, if you're one of those people in this league that is such a show pony glory boy that you need to score a touchdown and you're going to stick the ball out in a non-do-or-die situation, you deserve to fumble. And that's why I am a big believer that a fumble out the back of the end zone by the offense, yeah, it should be a touchback and it should go to the other team. Never, ever fumble. If you ever fumble, you should be sent to the gulag. Yeah. Do we have one in the United States? I don't know. But send them to the gulag. You should never fumble. Never, ever, 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 ever fumble unless you're a quarterback that's in the process of trying to throw a pass and a guy hits you from behind. You should never fumble the ball. Don't hold it like a lacrosse stick. Don't hold it like a loaf of bread. And don't extend it for the entire rest of the defense to potentially punch it out at the goal line unless you know for sure that you can get in. Trevor Lawrence doing it at the 1 yard line and Saturday on that 2-point conversion attempt. I'll allow it because I know how tall he is. When you're that far away, like the Ravens were and Tyler Huntley's trying to jump over the line of scrimmage to get that, no, miss me with that. Let's continue to talk about big losers and winners from the weekend. Roquan Smith was asked about what ended up being a very close game that the Bengals ultimately won 24-17. They'll play the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round of the playoffs. Roquan Smith, of course, playing for the Baltimore Ravens, had this to say about the way things went.
It's definitely crazy, but I think at the end of the day, it's ball, and crazy things happen when you play this game, and you know, that's what it's made of. Like, hats off to those guys for executing what they did, and it is what it is.
Roquan, did you think you were the better team today when, you know, as you watched that whole game unfold?
For sure, but not always the best team win. And, you know, those guys end up making a player two more than we did. So, you know, they get the advance. We don't, but it's just more motivation for this offseason and, you know, going into next season. And we'll see them again.
He's not entirely wrong, right? I mean, the Ravens did outplay Cincinnati last night. They did. I thought it was a pretty sloppy game, all things considered, by Cincinnati. I thought Baltimore did a great job defensively. And honestly, until that play, I thought Tyler Huntley did a great job. Up to that point, I thought he played pretty damn well. I was actually in the process of tweeting out, wow, Tyler Huntley's played great. What would have happened? What's going to happen next week, say the Ravens win, for Lamar Jackson? And then all of a sudden, ball's popping out, Hubbard's going the other way, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh man, they just blew their opportunity here. You can believe this. Sometimes the better team doesn't win. I'm sorry. You can't say it aloud. You can't say that aloud. You can't. You look like a jackass. You lost. Sometimes the better team doesn't win. Cool. Nice excuse. You still lost.
I will say he does have a good point because he said there's like one or two plays that went the wrong way for the Ravens. You could really just say it was one play.
It was
the Tyler Huntley fumble that went the wrong way.
14-point swing from the Cincinnati one. Yeah. You're not wrong, Sean.
And they lost by 7. They lost by the same Hubbard touchdown.
You still can't say it, though, can you?
I completely agree. You cannot. No matter how right you are.
You can't say it.
You can't say it.
You know, like me coming in today, there's a lot of me that wants to say the way that Trevor Lawrence played in that Saturday night game, completely unacceptable. But they won because he shook off what he did in the first half. He won. Played like crap in the first half, but he scrubbed all that poop off from down his legs And next thing you know, the Jaguars won the game. Did the better team win that game? If the Chargers have Mike Williams, maybe they're the better team. Whatever the case, you can't say that after a loss. You can't. It's just loser talk. You didn't win. You blew it at the end. Sometimes the better team doesn't win. Well, I mean, it's a team game, and the team that made it to the Super Bowl last year won again. They continue to win in the playoffs. You lost, yes. You had your backup quarterback playing. He wasn't even 100% healthy, possibly, to the point where did you see John Harbaugh get super mad in that sideline interview? Oh, are you thinking about benching Tyler Huntley for Anthony Brown? No. I like this mid-quarter coaching interviews that you've got in the league now. These are great in the middle of a broadcast. They're so pissed off when they're trying to answer questions. Poor Melissa Stark. She's trying to ask John Harbaugh anything, and Harbaugh's getting salty because that's what Harbaugh does. Harbaugh's one of the more whiny coaches in the league that you kind of don't hear about. Like, constantly will whine about other teams taking advantage of like the rule book, one that he doesn't understand as much as he could. I would point to a lot of Patriots-Ravens playoff games in the past where Belichick bamboozles him with something. But let's go further back and look at this Ravens and Bengals game. Lamar Jackson said this past week that he wasn't 100% and that he wasn't going to be able to go. I couldn't find the actual audio of this, but J.K. Dobbins was not happy after the game. First off, he thought that Tyler Huntley shouldn't have had the ball on that quarterback sneak where he fumbled. He thought that I'm J.K. Dobbins, I should get the ball at all times inside the 10-yard line. And then, a little bit further, Dobbins was asked, hey, what happens if Lamar Jackson's playing this game? Oh, we win. So it does make the conversation go back to Lamar Jackson. And I get that if you go out there and play and risk injury when you're not 100%, you could end up perhaps costing yourself a lot of money down the line. And that maybe Lamar Jackson should be thinking about himself as opposed to his teammates and all of that. But this is going to be held against him probably for a while. Fair or unfair? He said he's not 100%. How many quarterbacks have we seen play at less than 100%? And it's his choice? This is just something that will be discussed with Lamar Jackson for a while. Could he have gone? He wasn't at the game. From what I understand, at the very least, I was listening to that conversation on Get Up this morning. See, now they're showing a picture of him on the... Yeah, he didn't travel with the team to Cincinnati. They're showing this right now on ESPN. That's also a bad look.
That, to me, is worse than not playing.
Right. You're not even there. You're not there to help out. It's... Look, I know we can't for sure say what was going through Jackson's head there, but he said he wasn't 100%, and he doesn't even travel with the team to a playoff game. That is a horrible look. It's a horrible, horrible look, and I'm a massive Lamar Jackson fan. I enjoy watching him play. I think he's a better passer than he's given credit for. I know he's had some bad playoff moments. He should have been there. And I'm curious as to what would have happened had the Ravens won. Would Jackson have tried to come back? Because if they win without Jackson, then all of a sudden that's potentially a negotiating tool that can be used against him this offseason. It's a bad look. It's a very bad look by Jackson, and I know that some people are going to get mad when anyone has the audacity to question Jackson there, but dude, it's your team. Show up for the game. Figure out the contract situation later. You got to be there. This is like Kyrie Irving with the Boston Celtics. Towards the end, because I think like Kyrie Irving had like a dentist appointment or something like that, and he couldn't show up for his Celtics game. It was something like that ridiculous.
Yeah, it was like a deviated septum or something. Yeah. He got fixed.
He had surgery like in the middle of the playoff game.
Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
An absolutely terrible look. And on brand for Kyrie Irving. If you're Lamar Jackson, do you even want to be in the same realm of conversation as Kyrie Irving? I mean, Kyrie Irving is still taking shots, by the way. I saw some clip that popped up. I guess he was taking shots. I'm guessing this was at James Harden. He's like, yeah, this year, when Kevin Durant's out, we're still making it work because everyone's bought in. Oh, what about you? Are you still using the vaccine as a convenient shield for you?
No, he said that last year we had someone who was halfway in.
Yeah, you.
Well, but no, it was James Harden who was halfway in.
And then Ben Simmons.
The guy who actually played more games than Kyrie Irving last year on the Nets.
Goodness gracious.
When he got traded in February. He got traded in February, still played more games than Kyrie Irving.
Nets. That is funny. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Should Lamar Jackson have been there? Should Lamar Jackson have played? That and more conversation about the winners and losers of Super Wild Card Weekend. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
A predictable response to our previous conversation on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston from the 832. Last segment, we were just discussing whether or not Lamar Jackson, who was hurt, not 100%, should have at least been at the game last night. Tyler Huntley's under center, and I'm imagining that the guy with the headset on that is helping Huntley with the offense isn't Lamar Jackson. It's going to be Anthony Brown, who looked woefully bad in the Week 18 finale with him under center against the Cincinnati Bengals. He looked bad there. So maybe if Lamar Jackson, the starting quarterback, is there helping things out, even if he can't play, he can provide some sort of value in the midst of a playoff game. And of course, we get this text in response because we just live in a world of whataboutism. So Derek Carr can step away from the team for the last 3 weeks, but Lamar Jackson has to be at the game. Thinking face emoji.
Oh, wow, Paul, I didn't even think about that. Oh, my God, Paul. Oh, you're done. You're finished. On MLK Day, too. Racist. Because Derek Carr, his team benched him and is playing two meaningless games.
Why?
It's a little different than the wild card.
Why do we always have to do this crap? Why? It was mutually agreed upon, but I'm with you. Carr should have been there the rest of the season. He got benched. I suppose what's the point of being there for the meaningless games? It's about being a teammate to the rest of the guys in the locker room. If you really want to go down that rabbit hole, but don't even try to make that into an apples to apples kind of comparison. No, Sean, I know you're jesting. I know you're having some fun here.
No. Klux Gallant.
Stop. Stop. That's BS. That is BS. This is BS. Why do we have to do this every single time? Why do we have to make this about race? The guy is a teammate, whether he's white, black, Asian, green, purple, translucent, whatever it is. Shouldn't he be there? That's all I'm saying.
I just find it interesting that you're making a bigger deal out of not being there for the AFC playoffs than you are for week 17 and 18 of the Oakland Raiders season.
You know what? It's a fair point. It's a fair point.
I don't know. It's just interesting that you treat a playoff game differently than you treat a 4-10 team playing the last two games of their season. I just think it's interesting.
Do some people just sit and listen and just wait for that moment? Look in the sky. It's the race signal. I need to play the race card right now. Some whataboutism here. Because they're not talking about Derek Carr and how Derek Carr quit on his team. I mean, shoot, I guess, you know what? Let's be inclusive, okay? Because Marcus Mariota also stepped away from the team. And I'm not keeping the same energy for Marcus Mariota, who stepped away from the team in, like, late November because he got benched for Desmond Ridder. You know what? And we got it. We got to hold everybody accountable. Okay. Whether you're white, black, Asian, Pacific Islander, whatever, everyone must be held accountable. And remember, whenever you bring up anything, you must bring up the history of everything else that has ever happened before. It's kind of hard on a radio show where you're confined to 12-minute segments. It is a little difficult, but I forgot. Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. So sorry. And from here on out, I'm going to bring up every single player who decided to stop playing for his team. Hey, Lamar Jackson, he stopped playing for the Baltimore Ravens when maybe he could have been out there. He didn't even show up for the game. You know who else didn't show up for his games? Deshaun Watson. How did I forget about him? Man, I am a bad radio host for that.
I think we can all, I mean, because, you know, we don't want to just criticize black people. We just don't want to criticize white people. So can we all unite over Ben Simmons quitting on his team?
That's true.
Boom. We're holding hands with Ben Simmons.
We should
all. We can criticize Ben Simmons and be have our bases covered equality-wise.
You know who else quit on his team?
Although mental health, but.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It was for mental health. So, I mean,
shame
think
on
about
me.
That. Yeah. James Harden quit on his team. Brandon Cooks quit on his team. Lots of guys quit on their teams. How many other people have quit on their team? Paul Gallant quit on his Pee Wee football team in sixth grade because he was going to be playing on two teams and the practices conflicted with one another. He quit. Why isn't he holding himself accountable? Classic white man. Unbelievable. Another text, 713-780-3776. You're racist, bruh. It's like that LeBron comment that he doesn't listen to classical music. Do you think Lamar Jackson listens to classical music? You know what? I've had a change of heart. Maybe that's what Lamar Jackson was doing. Instead of showing up for Sunday's game, a playoff game where all of his teammates were playing against the Cincinnati Bengals, Lamar Jackson, you know what he was doing? He was listening to his Beethoven records.
He was at a symphony?
Yeah. He was listening to the greatest hits of Howard Shore from the Lord of the Rings soundtrack. You know, like Bridge of Khazad Dûm, Battle of the Pelennor Fields. He was listening to a little bit of John Williams too, Duel of the Fates. Okay? That's what he was doing. So I apologize for asking the question of should a football player have been there with his team for a playoff game? Instead of staying away for what reasons? I don't know. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out over the next couple of weeks. Is Jackson going to release a statement? Did he think no one would notice? And now after the game where you got J.K. Dobbins saying, well, if Jackson had played, we'd have won. And then you find out he's not even there. Please do not try to tell me that that is a good look. Like, on a serious note. You can't. It's a horrible look. If he didn't play, that's fine. I'm all for a guy holding himself above the organization that he works for. More of us should have the balls to do that. Sadly, not a lot of us have the actual flexing ability to do that. But he should have been at the game. What, he couldn't walk? My knee is unstable. Give him crutches. Give him a wheelchair. Give him a rascal. Give him something, and he doesn't even show up. It's a horrible look. And I like Lamar Jackson a lot, but like, please try to defend that. You can't. He should have been there. He would have probably been helpful to Tyler Huntley in that game so that they can talk to one another on the headset. Starting quarterback, if you go down, you are supposed to help the team out. You have the most understanding of the offense that's not the offensive coordinator and not the head coach. On that whole team, you got to be there.
To be fair, neither the two texts that you read actually defend Lamar Jackson. They don't say, like, actually, here's why it's not a big deal. They just call you racist. So,
right, that's true.
What? So in the texter's defense, they're actually not defending Lamar Jackson. They could agree with you, but then also be calling you a racist.
But this what about stuff, Sean, it never stops. Like, we talked about Deshaun Watson for years, and people would always say, well, what about Ben Roethlisberger? Yeah, what about him? It's a great question, but we're not talking about Ben Roethlisberger right now. I mean, that's what I do not understand. And I think the internet has made this worse, where if you discuss something, somebody else is going to bring up something completely separate from what you're discussing. And every single circumstance in the world is generally unique from another circumstance. They're not all related, okay? And yet, there are so many of you people out there that do this. Oh, Paul, what do you mean, you people? I mean, dumbasses. You, dumbass.
What about this? What about that?
How about listen to what we're talking about and just focus on that instead of getting mad about what we're not bringing up? Good God. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Did Lamar Jackson just not want to taste the skyline chili of Cincinnati? Was that why he wasn't at the Bengals-Ravens playoff game yesterday? Did he have the mud butt like he did that one time? Remember that game where he had to go to the locker room? He ran off the field so quickly, so gingerly, looking like he was holding something within, if you will. Was he nervous about his tum-tum and what could have potentially happened there? Capfitch317 on twitch.tv/ESPN975 and 92.5 did make an interesting point. The team didn't show him commitment, but he's supposed to show it to them? Nah. I'm okay with it. Okay, if we're talking about just the actual organization here, the Ravens, I could potentially get behind that because we're talking about a guy who is MVP of the league a couple of years ago, who is clearly a damn good player. I can kind of get behind that, but this isn't just about that. This is about his relationship with every single other player in that locker room. How would you feel knowing he wasn't there? Would you want to play for him next year? Really, would you want to play with him at all? I think there's some people who are probably pissed off that he wasn't there. You heard J.K. Dobbins saying if Jackson had played, we would have won. And I'm sure there are some people that are saying, you know what, Lamar, do whatever you got to do. But if you're one of his teammates and he doesn't even show up on the sideline for a playoff game, do or die, he's not there for you. He's already essentially saying, yeah, my season is done if he's doing that. He wasn't going to come back the next round if he's not showing up for that game, right? Like, that's the message I got from that decision that he made.
And what he needs to, for PR reasons, because you're right, like, he is technically a free agent this season. So what does
he owe? Franchise tag him. So
what does he owe the team? You know, what the texter was saying. So what he needs to do, and this has worked in the past before, it's a little hard because he doesn't have an agent, but he needs to call a press conference, wear a hat with his agent's company on it, and says, I'm a representative of myself. Because everyone loved it when Garrett Cole did it.
That's true.
It was such a good PR win for Garrett Cole to be like, I'm not part of this team anymore, you know, seconds after they lose Game 7 of the World Series. So it worked for Garrett Cole. That's what Lamar Jackson needs to do. That's what we're missing, is because he's a representative of himself.
Put your name on it.
Or your agent's name on it.
He has done some irreparable damage here. I would say with his teammates, there are some who are never going to look at him quite the same. And I would say that city, Baltimore, there are some people that are never going to look at him quite the same. And it's entirely because he didn't go to the game. Just go to the game. You go to the game, no one's talking about any of this. They see you on the sideline. They wonder, hey, what would happen if Jackson's in there? You go to negotiating during the offseason. You figure out whether or not you're going to be a Raven going forward. Instead, you do this. And I mean, how are you not sending a message by not going? How are you not doing that? And I suppose message received by the Ravens, but how are the Ravens likely to respond to that? Are the Ravens likely to give you what you want? No, they're probably going to make your life difficult. Here's the thing. Jackson does not have the leverage that he thinks he does. If Jackson wants to go to free agency, I suppose he can, but you know what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to wait because the Ravens are going to give him the franchise tag. They signed Roquan Smith to the long-term extension. Smith, represented by himself, negotiated that with Baltimore, and yet they haven't been able to make any progress, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens organization. And there is a chance that this all becomes in the rearview mirror, and that maybe the Ravens say, you know what, we're going to give him the long-term deal. We need him. But there's also a chance that doesn't happen. And you just got to wonder, if you're Jackson, what was the win here? Was not being there for the playoff game going to help you with negotiations? Imagine if the Ravens won. And they almost did. Huntley's a yard short of giving Baltimore a 7-point lead. And with the way that Cincinnati wasn't moving the ball, there was a damn good chance that Baltimore would have won that game. There's no win here. Lamar Jackson not showing up. None. And he didn't. So I know there's a ton of different ways to look at this if you want. But ultimately, forget about the friction between he and the organization. How did he benefit himself in any way, shape, or form by not going to that game? How? He didn't. You can't possibly come up with an explanation for that. You might not have a problem with it. And I'm not saying you need to have a problem with it. I'm just saying, why would you do that? How does it benefit you? Paul Galancho, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call and text in with any final thoughts. It's that time of the show. Time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Concerning news from the Dallas Zoo. They tweeted this on Friday. The Dallas Zoo is closed today due to a serious situation. But it didn't give any specification at all. We're closed. There's a serious situation. They responded to this tweet actually saying what the story was. And this way you can maybe hide a little bit of the PR damage to come. We have an ongoing situation at the zoo right now with a code blue. That is a non-dangerous animal that is out of its habitat. One of our clouded leopards was not in its habitat when the team arrived this morning and is unaccounted for at this time. Wait a second. A clouded leopard isn't dangerous? It's a leopard. Clouded leopard. Cute looking animal. Small looking animal. It's still a jungle cat. That's not a danger at all. Honestly, looking at the pictures, you know what? I feel like if I was there and this thing was on the loose, I would definitely take it home. I would risk life and limb to take the clouded leopard home. So cute. Look at it.
Also, just being the zookeeper that has to walk in every day and then like, yep, there is an animal in this exhibit. And just how terrifying is the day where you're like, man, I cannot find this clouded leopard.
Probably a lot of panic. Here's the funny thing about cats. Cats are great at hiding. And anyone who's had a cat before, you've probably had a day where you thought your cat got outside. And then you're like, oh, it just found a new hiding spot. Like, oh, it dug a hole underneath my box frame and is sleeping underneath it. Because now this is my cat's new bed. Like, they do that a lot. So I bet that's what happened with the clouded leopard here. But Dallas, can we get our stuff in order? Okay? Like, you would think there'd be a little more due diligence as a city after, you know, the thing that happened. Just a little more due diligence. So whether it's, you know, safeguarding clouded leopards or presidents, let's get your stuff together. Okay? All-time awkward interview moment. Dan Le Batard had former Houston Texan Vince Wilfork on his show last week, and I think Dan missed some key details.
I have always enjoyed the way that you talk about your wife and your relationship. You are very comfortable talking about how you met your wife, how much you love her, how important she is to you, and that's the reason that I asked the question. I've always admired that about you, that you have no problems whatsoever professing your love.
Well, the thing is, I got a new wife now. You know, me and Bianca didn't make it. So I moved on. We moved on. It was for the better for both of us. And but we are real you know, good friends. You know, we are parents first. And the love I have for her, I have for her. But, you know, my new wife that we just got married, you know, October 8th of 2020.
So it's recent. Oh, 2020.
I'm happy.
Things just got a little awkward there. So let me be the first on this show to congratulate you on the new wife, Vince. Congratulations on feeling whole, feeling complete, you know? Let's talk tailgating. Yeah.
Good for Vince. I thought he handled that pretty well. Levitard afterwards said he felt really embarrassed. There are few things more difficult to broach than the subject of, hey, is this person I know, are they still with the significant other? Because sometimes that falls through the cracks. So I feel bad for Levitard there. I honestly had no idea that Vince Wilfork had a new wife myself.
Credit to the Stugots, though, for pivoting to the sponsored whatever, talking about some tailgating,
yeah,
you know,
that was
football weekend.
That was a good version of a nosedive, and Levitard saddened it a little bit. A funny moment on the radio. It happens from time to time. Anyway, big thanks to everybody who tuned in today on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Thanks for being with us on this day that I know a lot of you guys have off. I hope you enjoy the holiday. For Sean Mapes, our texters, callers, twitchers, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Killer Bees are up next.
Peace.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.